I'd like now to welcome Olympia Stone. Her documentary, The Cardboard Bernini, screens at 2 o'clock this Saturday at the CCA in Santa Fe. It's part of the Santa Fe Film Festival, and she will also be participating in a panel discussion at 8 in the morning at the Hotel Santa Fe called Art on Film. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this is a documentary about an artist, Jimmy Graschow, who created an extraordinary artwork. He built a version of Bernini's Trevi Fountain, which is an amazing marble fountain in Rome. He built it out of cardboard. It sounds crazy, but it's an absolutely beautiful, grand undertaking. How did he conceive of this? How did this come into being?
Well, we talk a little bit about that in the film. It's really an idea that he first had, I think, about maybe 10 or 15 years ago. He teaches cardboard workshops and art students all over the world, and he was invited to teach a group of students in Italy, and he thought it would be an amazing idea to build an amazing cardboard fountain and sneak it into a piazza and leave it overnight and sort of freak people out with it. But the whole thing never happened. So I think that was the first time that he really, really thought about doing something like this. And then he shelved the idea and came back to it. I guess he started this project in 2007. So that's when he started building it.
Right, right. Now, his use of cardboard, it's both an art medium and it's a metaphor. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so many. He talks about how cardboard and people share sort of the same DNA. Cardboard is garbage, and he says in the film, it's so grateful to be rescued from being trash, which I love.
Yeah.
And that humans and cardboard have this, you know, that we're both mortal, and that we have, you know, we have this imminent, or maybe not so imminent, but we all face the same kind of disintegration in the end. And I also love the fact that he's taking something that is trash and making it into something so beautiful. You know, it's hard to believe that this is something that we encounter every day, the cardboard box. You know, you toss it aside, you don't think about it, but he's taking it and really transforming it into something unexpected.
It really is. I mean, our friends out in Radio Land are listening right now. Probably half of them are going, "Yeah, right." But you see this movie, and it's you know you don't know how he does it. And the thing that I you come to love this guy Jimmy, because he's an amazing artist, and he's also so honest and humble. I mean, he says early in the movie that he's finally embraced the title of artist. He calls himself an artist. But when you look at his life, I mean, he's been doing incredible work since he was a small child and has never been kind of like, it seems like, super egotistical about it, even though he's been quite successful.
That's right. I mean, Jimmy is really, at his very core, is an artist. I mean, deep, deep down. And I think that really comes across in the film. He has spent his whole life kind of struggling with all of the realities of being a working artist, which is, you know, rejection and, but also wonderful things. I mean, he's had a wonderful career, and, you know, I look at him now, he's 70 years old, and he's kind of said to me, you know, he did struggle for a long time, I think, with being able to call himself an artist, and you know, he's over that now. I mean, I think he really feels like this is what he has dedicated and devoted his life to, and he absolutely deserves the title. But he is very humble, and yet when you see the body of his work and how extraordinary talented, it's not just building these amazing things in cardboard, but he's a phenomenal woodcut artist. I mean, he's probably the most, you know, I mean, I don't know who you could compare him to today, but that's a whole nother career that he has going on. And, you know, he's just an exceptionally talented and magnificent human. I mean, I think he's a philosopher, you know?
Yeah. Well, and part of the deep understanding of art and mortality and cardboard and all the things that he talks about in the film, is the reality that an artwork is not just about getting an idea and bringing it to completion and displaying it. There's the rest of it where it is seen, enjoyed, and then it decays and becomes, and it basically dies and becomes nothing again. And that is the part that we don't like to think about as human beings, who know that we're going to die and everybody we love is going to die, and that artists don't really like to think about in their artwork. But it's basically kind of Buddhism 101. Everything is impermanent.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I mean, I actually have, and I don't like to use titles or whatever, but I mean, I consider myself a Buddhist. I meditate every day, and I think of this whole film in very Buddhist terms, because it's really about letting go and really grappling with the temporary nature of our existence. And I think that it isn't something that we like to think about very much, but he's really struggling with these ideas, and I think embarking on this journey was a way for him to really go through it and to kind of challenge himself to see if he could do it. And you know, and I do think it you know, it's not that it didn't take a toll. I mean, I think there's it's a tough thing in a way to put yourself through what he did, but I think it's very beautiful and admirable.
And you know, there's a funny like escape hatch from the mortality thing, which is that you've made this film.
Yes.
So the film
exactly.
Lives on.
And he has said he doesn't know deep down if he would have. Although I disagree with him on this, because I think he was very committed to follow this idea through. But he says, you know, he has grandkids and he wants a record for them of some sort. So I think the fact that I was documenting it obviously made it easier to let go of in the end.
And the letting go was basically, after it was displayed at a museum, it was put outside in another museum courtyard where it was going to rain, and it rained, and in fact the thing, I mean, didn't quite return to the earth, but basically was destroyed.
Right, yeah. No, it was, and honestly, that was back in April, when that happened, and I think it's, you know, he's still working through all of that. I mean, like I said, it was a physically demanding project for him, and I think that you know, it did take its toll to do all of that. And it's not that he will make something amazing again. I'm sure he will, because he's such a creative person, but I do think he's still in sort of the gestating phase, you know?
It's interesting. I mean, you see him having made probably the grandest artwork of his life and then seeing it destroyed. What is he, you say he's still kind of digesting it, but what's he working on now? Is there...
every time I talk to him, he says something different. I think he's casting around. I mean, I think he's always got stuff going on. He does cardboard workshops. He does these, you know, teaching stints where he'll go and build things on site at different, you know, colleges or museums or things like that. So it's not that he isn't too busy all the time. You know, he's very busy, and he's really a working artist. I mean, it's not like he can rest on his laurels and not work. So he's working, but has he kind of found the next big thing? I don't think so yet, but yeah. I have a lot of confidence that he will. I think it's just a matter of time.
How did you come to do this documentary?
Well, I grew up with his work in the house that I grew up in, because my father was his art dealer for almost 50 years. And Jimmy's work had a visceral... it was terrifying. I mean, it terrified me as a child. He had big, giant, 15-foot-tall papier-mâché men. Some of them, we had a piece called Murder Mâché, where they're all strangling each other, and it's comical on one hand, but it's also, you know, their eyes are bloodshot and their tongues are hanging out. It was very terrifying. I always thought they were going to come alive when I was, you know, sneaking down to get a glass of milk at night, and I would run past them really quickly. So I think that, you know, his work is wonderful because it's very accessible. There's nothing you need to get about what he's doing. It's kids get it, adults, you know, and anybody can understand and access this work. But I do think that people mistake it for being sort of cute and comical, which it is on one hand, but just like Jimmy, it's got a sort of a tormented edge to it. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of dark at the same time. And I definitely picked up on that as a kid. So I've loved his work forever. And I've had I've known him for my whole life practically. And, you know, and I go through in the film, there is a story of how the film actually came to be, which has to do with my father and Jimmy and one of his artworks, and it was a very organic process of how the film came after that. So I don't want to give too much away.
Yes, I was going to say. Well, we really want to encourage people to go see the film. It's called The Cardboard Bernini by Olympia Stone, and it screens at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon at the CCA in Santa Fe. And you will also be participating in a panel discussion on Saturday morning at the Hotel Santa Fe called Art on Film.
Right, and I'll be doing a Q&A after the film also.
Right. And by the way, what's your website?
It's floatingstone.com, because there also are some outtakes from the film, you know, things that aren't in the film on there and stuff like that.
Okay, wonderful. Floatingstone.com. Olympia Stone, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me.